too grateful to be in a country like the United States of America, to live here, and the freedom that we have. Really? Yeah? Okay. I know I am. And I just think of the sacrifice of so many, and I don't say this lightly. I even think of this morning, for some reason, this service, I was thinking of my grandfather and just the sacrifice that he paid to really give us the freedom that we have here as a nation. And I just feel grateful this morning. I really do. We're going into 4th of July, and I see even some in this room who are or have been a part of the military. And can we just say thank you to them this morning? If you serve or have served in the military, would you just stand up just quickly? We just want to say thank you. Yeah. Look at this. Wow. Yes. Wow. Thank you, guys. Good grief. You guys all stood. I got emotional. What is going on here? Thank you, guys. This is amazing. That's amazing. I feel so blessed this morning. I really do. I feel blessed to be able to share with you this morning. Pastor Ryan and Kelly are away at a very well-deserved time together, celebrating their anniversary. And I feel blessed to be a part of this church and for them to be our leaders. I thought that it would be a good way just to start this morning by praying for our nation, by praying for them as they're away. And then you guys would pray for me that I don't mess this thing up this morning, because I believe that God has a really clear word for all of us. And I think it's a really good, really important word. But what happened, and this happens often with me, I don't know why, but I always prepare something, and then it seems like last minute God's like, hey, I'm going to switch things around on you a little bit. I want you to share something different. And the bad thing about that is I prepare awesome jokes, and I'm just ready. I got the punchline. I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm like, Bobby said, and then it's like, I'm all ready. And then he's like, no, let's go a different direction. This one won't have as many jokes. And so this is a fresh, here's the nice thing. It's fresh and it's new and it's from God. So that's good enough, right? Come on, somebody. Yeah. All right. All right. And then I just want to mention too, before we pray, Lucy did an amazing job last week. For those of you that weren't here, maybe you can go check it out online. But I was messing with her this week because it's not fair. She uses her glasses very strategically. Did you notice that? You all noticed, right? She's got her glasses here, and then when she's going to go read something, she puts it on. You know, when you put your glasses on to read something, it means you're smart or old. One of two. I don't know which one. I think smart in Lucy's case, because I happen to know how young she is, all right? I'm just going to say that. Nothing but love, Lucy. She's right back there. But then she pointed the glasses at us. Did you notice that? It's like I got pointed at a few times, and I'm just like, how'd you know? You know what I'm talking about? I wish I had glasses. It just seems cool, you know, like pointing at people. All right, anyways. Sorry, I just had to share that because that was impressive. Good use of glasses, Lucy. Well done. All right. Let's pray. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be here, God. We know that the fact that we are here this morning in this room, worshiping you, being together, is because of the freedom that we have to do so. We don't take that lightly, God. We thank you for the many that have given so selflessly of themselves to give us this opportunity. Father, as a nation, I just lift up this country to you, God. I lift up our leaders. I lift up the different things that are going on, the future of this nation, dear God. I know that seems like such a huge prayer, but Father, let us be people that pray for our nation, God. Your word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek me, I will heal their land. And God, we believe that. We believe that you are with our country. We believe that, God, your hand is on our country. We believe that you are going to continue to lead us and guide us and direct us. And by your Holy Spirit, Father, lead and guide and direct the leaders of our land, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up our pastors as they're away. I pray you'd give them a special time of renewal, refreshing, a good time together, God. I pray they come back rested and ready to take us on again, in Jesus' name, God. And then finally, I just pray, Lord, that this message would be from you. I pray, Lord, as you have prompted me to give this word this morning, I just want to reveal your heart towards us this morning, God. And I pray that we would all walk out of here different, and we can learn from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk about something we all need this morning. I know many of you might be thinking of different things right now when I say something we all need. I know I need In-N-Out Burger. I know you all need Whataburger. Is that how you pronounce it, Whataburger? I'm still trying to get out. Every day, though, I get a little bit more love for it. But there's a lot of things we need. But the thing that I need more than anything else in my life, and I would say it's probably the same for you, is rest. And a true rest, not just worldly rest or us resting ourselves, but rest that comes from God. The Bible talks a lot about rest. And I don't want you to miss anything this morning. I don't want you to hear me talking about just resting our bodies and just taking a day. But I want you to hear me talking about this morning, receiving the rest that God gives. How many of you know that when you're well-rested, things go better? I know I am. When I'm not well-rested, I'm a terrible dad. I'm a terrible husband. I'm a terrible pastor. But when I'm well-rested and when I feel well-rested, I feel like I can take on the world. And I want to talk to you about something very, very deeply spiritual, and that is the rest that God wants to give us. That is the rest that he has available for us. The number one answer I get from people when I ask how they're doing is they say they're tired. The number one answer, and I'm talking here at church too. I get it all the time. How are you doing? Oh, I'm tired. It's been so busy. Things are just so busy in my life. How many of you would say, and you don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. How many of you would say that you feel tired this morning? And I'm not just talking physically, because you know what wears us out? The enemy wears us out with worry, with burden on our lives, with anxiety, with fear. We get worn out by those things. We live in a world that wears us down and wears us out. And if the enemy could have his way in our lives, he would burn us out so that we're no use in this world. And so that we see ourselves in a way that God doesn't see us. We see ourselves in a way that God would like to turn around so that we would begin to see ourselves the way that he sees us. That's his desire for us. But the enemy just wants to wear us down. The enemy wants to just keep us busy all the time. And I want to tell you this morning that God, so many times throughout the Bible, invites us into not busyness, but into rest, into times with him, into times where we're renewed, where we're rejuvenized. And I want to talk about that this morning. I mentioned it's not just a physical thing. There might be some of you that feel like you're exhausted just mentally in your job, maybe emotionally, spiritually, maybe in your marriage. Maybe it's just burdens that come with just living or being engaged with people, involved in people's lives. And I think the real question here is, do you have peace? Because really that's, in essence, what I'm talking about this morning is the rest of God, or the rest that God gives, is really the peace that God gives that he wants us to walk in. And I know many of you know the passage in Philippians, but it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, with prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God. And then the ending of it is the most beautiful thing. It says, then the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what rest is. And listen, I know this for a fact. Many of us are rest deprived. And God doesn't want it to be that way. That's not the way God set it up. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the invitation from Jesus. Today, I believe God wants two things for us. First one is that we would understand his rest. And the second is that we would experience his rest. You know that God knew at the beginning of time that we were going to need rest. So when he created man on the sixth day, do you know what the next day was? It was a day of rest. Isn't that cool? We think about it. We always think of rest as like, oh, you just got to go really hard until you really need it. And then we can stop and rest. No, God says start with rest. And out of that rest with me will overflow your life and your ministry and the things that I have for you to do. So, I mean, think about that. Here's God the sixth day. He makes everything. He says it's good. Then he makes man. He says it's very good. And then as he's tucking them into bed at night, I don't know if he really tucked them into bed or maybe tucked them into like leaves or something. I don't know how it worked, but he said, guess what? You guys don't have to get up and go to work tomorrow. I'm giving you a day with me, a day of rest. And so that is when the Sabbath began. And the Sabbath is something that more and more, I believe, is one of the most important ingredients missing in our culture today. Sabbath is something beautiful. Sabbath is something that God made for us so that we might experience him, so that we might experience his rest. Not that we would just take a day off, but that we would take a day to experience his life, his rest, his power, his goodness. It's a day of being grateful for who he is and what we have and not focusing on what we don't have, but focusing on the goodness of God and what he has given us in our lives. You know, you look at David in the Bible and in the Psalms, and so many times he's talking about rest. In fact, one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture is Psalm 23, where he talks about the Lord is my shepherd. I think we have it on the screen. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. You know, I look at that last line, he renews my strength. And I think that is so important for each one of us to recognize that God is the one that renews our strength. And it's not just taking a day off. It's not just getting away, not just setting time aside to be alone, but it's about allowing God to renew our strength. It's about allowing him to lead us into those places of peace, into those places of calm, into those places where our strength can be renewed, where our soul can be restored. Psalm 37:7, David says it this way, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Let me just stop and let's just ride on that for a second, if it was a wave. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. That's not easy to do in the culture that we live in. Such a fast-paced society that we live in. There's so much going on all the time. And David somehow understood the concept of resting in the Lord and waiting patiently on the Lord. How many of you remember the passage in Isaiah? Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings like eagles. They will soar. They will run and not grow weary. That is a picture of the rest that God gives us. And I'm talking softly so that it's restful, I guess. I don't know. Psalm 46:10, God says, be still and know that I am God. All these invitations from God to just slow down and to recognize where our strength comes from, who we can trust in, to recognize where the source of our life is, and that is God. But if we don't slow down, if we don't take the time to stop and to rest and to allow the rest that God gives us to make a difference in our lives, then we're constantly going to be in this state of anxiety and nervousness and fear. And I'm telling you, if we were to raise our hands in this room, I believe most of us would raise our hands and say, this last week, I was overcome in some way with fear or worry or anxiety or burden or just the weight of what's going on in my life. And God, since the beginning of time, has given us a day where we can set aside. The Bible says, keep the Sabbath. It says, observe, remember to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. That means set apart, not like the other days. Now, right now, some possibly might be thinking, because this happens, well, the Sabbath, maybe that was an Old Testament thing. Maybe that was a part of the law. We're not under the law. And I just want to say a couple things about that. And Pastor Ryan mentioned this last year when he spoke on this. Number one, this came in before the law even existed. This was when creation started. This was a gift from God to us. I want you to have a day where you rest in me. And secondly, it's gone on long after the law was fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament. And so this is something very biblical. It's something that's very important in our lives. If you look at the Ten Commandments, you see all of those. No one would say, well, I don't think we should observe the do not murder thing anymore. I don't think all of them are important, but the Sabbath is actually the one that's the least recognized. And what's interesting is I could break any of the other nine and probably lose my job, but if I break the Sabbath commandment, probably get a promotion because you're working extra, you're working overtime. And so this is important to God's heart. He doesn't want his children to be running around like chickens with their heads cut off, going crazy. He wants them with him, in his arms, in his care. I mean, I think about my kids. My favorite thing to do with my children is just to hold them, to be quiet, to tell them what I think about them. And sometimes it's hard because they are running around like crazy. I got a 3-year-old. I'm telling you, you come over to my house if you want to work out, and that's just keeping up with this guy, man. He is running around. He's climbing on things. He's jumping all over stuff. But when I can get a hold of him and just hold him, I love it. I love it. And he needs that. He may not know he needs it, but he needs to be still in the arms of his Father, to know who he is, to know how loved he is, to know how I feel about him. And I gotta be honest with you, there's so many times I look back at seasons of my life and I'm like, God, I've been running around doing all these things for you, and not once have I let you just get a hold of me and just hold me, and not once have I let you infuse the rest into my life that you so desire to give me. I wanna just share a little bit of my story. I grew up in the church. My parents were missionaries. I wouldn't trade any of it for the world. What an incredible experience to grow up in Chile and go throughout that whole country. I was a missionary at the age of 4 or 5 years old. I remember going around our neighborhood and inviting people to our church, and I loved it. And I have such good memories of growing up and my parents being pastors and missionaries. But for whatever reason, when I think back at growing up, when I think back at what the Sabbath was, to me, it was always the day you went to church and things were kind of crazy and hectic. So my memory of Sabbath was it was the busiest day of the week for us. And we were going. We had traveled to different parts of Chile to minister to people. And I loved it. But for some reason, I didn't understand the true concept and meaning of Sabbath growing up. So then I got into ministry. I got into ministry myself, and I love ministry. And I was going 1,000 miles an hour for Jesus in Salina, Kansas. It was the first place I went. I was a youth pastor there. And when I got there, there's about 60 kids. And over a couple years, we grew the youth ministry there, the church, myself, the leaders of the church. We got to about 500 or 600 kids coming every single Wednesday night. And I was doing amazing things for God. But I remember one night going home after we'd hit the peak. It was like 600 kids there that night. A bunch of kids got saved. Amazing things were happening. But I went home and I could not figure out why I was so sad. I was depressed. It was crazy. I sat down on my bed and I just remember sitting there. I remember vividly the window was open. There was kind of a breeze coming through the curtains. And I remember I literally started crying, and I didn't understand what was going on. I look back now and I realize that I didn't know how to rest back then. I was doing all these things for God. I was doing good things for God, but I'm not convinced that I truly knew God at that time and his heart, and especially his heart for me to rest. And I believe that God kind of started. And the only good thing that came out of that was I wrote like a dark emo worship song at that time. That was kind of cool. Maybe I'll share it with you sometime. It's sad. The first two lines are dry my tearing eyes, calm my bothered heart. Anyways, that was, yeah, so there you go. I didn't wear eyeliner or anything though, so we're all good. But I just remember God, I believe in that moment, wanting to start doing something in me, but I still didn't understand. So I went from Salina, Kansas, after I was married, had two kids. We went to Denver, Colorado to be senior pastors of a church of about 600 people. And I remember a spiritual leader in my life, I said, how do I do this? I have no idea what it's like to be a lead pastor. And he gave me some bad advice, and he probably didn't mean it this way, but what he said was, just go as hard as you can for as long as you can until you need to take a break. And so that's really kind of how I went into pastoring, and again, I got caught up in just doing. I mean, I think in my life, I just had this performance mentality. I grew up playing sports. It was all about performing. It was all about doing as much as you can for God. And but the problem was I'd go to bed every night just feeling like, I don't think I did enough for God. And I didn't realize that that's not what God was asking of me. And so it was during this time that I started to kind of understand Sabbath. But what I would start to do is I'd take a day. But the problem was is I would take a break from everything. And it was an escape for me. And so I felt the burden and the weight of ministry and pleasing people and all of this stuff. And so I would take a break. And sometimes, I know this sounds terrible, but I think I took a break from God too. Like, that's not what you're supposed to do. But I just felt like I just needed to completely disconnect. And so Amy and I remember one day, I just looked at each other and we realized that something was off, something was wrong. And we didn't like what was going on in our marriage. I remember even talking about, like, this isn't what we agreed to when we got married. On our wedding day, we didn't say in 10 years or however long it was, this is what we want it to look like. And so we just really felt like God led us into a time of rest, into a time of stepping away. We gave up the church. We felt like we were supposed to step down, and we went to Stillwater, Oklahoma. So did someone say woo to Stillwater? We have someone from Stillwater? Oh, okay. Just you like okay. The Bible says He'll lead you by the still waters, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But so we went to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and we spent about 5 or 6 months there, not doing any ministry. Did a lot of marriage counseling, focused on our family, and just spent time together. But the most important thing we did was we learned from our Father what rest looks like. And I still get people all the time say, "Man, you gave up that church in Denver." I said, "Absolutely," because things were off. And we were doing so much for God, but I don't even know if I even knew God the way He wanted me to know Him. So the result of that was we came to San Antonio, Texas. And yeah, woohoo, yeah, come on, San Antonio. And where everything is pronounced wrong. You guys know that, right? It's not Blanco. Blanco, okay, there you go. Sorry. Is that offensive? Did I offend someone? No? Okay. Come on, people that speak Spanish. Come on. All right. Yeah. San Antonio. Okay, there we go. Right, Juan? There we go. One of the first things we did when moving to San Antonio was we established a day of Sabbath, a Sabbath day for our family. And we decided we want it to be a family thing. A lot of times in Jewish culture, a lot of what you see in Jewish culture of the Sabbath was it was an everybody thing, where people were together and people didn't work, people disconnected from the things of the world. And so we've done that as a family, and we're still learning this process, but I think we're moving in a direction. And I'll say this, since we've done this, I don't know if I've had a day where I would say that I am burnt out, because I feel like the rest that God has given me is really fueling my ministry now. And that doesn't make me anything special other than the fact that I think I'm finally starting to get it. I'm finally starting to understand. So what do we do on our Sabbath? Well, we do Sabbath on Saturday. That's our family Sabbath. We don't do Sunday because Sunday is a busy day. I work on Sunday. Sometimes I have to preach on Sundays, lead worship on Sunday. There's a lot going on. We have our groups that happen even after the service. And so Saturday is our day. And what we've done with Saturdays, and again, we're still growing into this, But we all sleep in. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Which for us is like 7:30, 8 o'clock when you have kids. Man, I remember I used to be able to sleep in until noon. Now it's like 7:30, 8 o'clock. That's okay. I'll take whatever we can get, but we sleep in. And then we all have breakfast together. Yesterday, we had the main course was syrup with a side of French toast. And it's wonderful. It's yummy. The reason we do this, I heard from a friend of mine that in Jewish culture, they used to give on the Sabbath a spoonful of honey to the kids so that kids would remember the sweetness of Sabbath and the sweetness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And so we have a lot of syrup on our Saturday mornings. It might be a side of French toast. It might be a side of pancakes. Whatever the case may be, that's what we do. And we talk about God. Yesterday at breakfast, we just talked about God. And it's a day of being grateful. We say to each other, we're not going to focus on what we don't have today. We're going to focus on what we do have. And so we're going to spend time talking about the things that we do have. One of the latest developments that our kids are still not sure about is that no electronics. And when I told my 10-year-old and my 8-year-old daughters this, they looked at me as if I had just like killed their puppy or something. And they were not too happy about this. But this is really cool. Last night I was talking to one of my daughters and I said, hey, how was it today without your iPod? And she was like, oh, yeah, I kind of forgot. It was not bad. And the reason being is because we were together and we were doing things together and we were making this a day of rest together and we were making this a day with a lot of syrup to get their mind off of iPods, things like that. It's a day where I hope as we grow into this, there'll be a day where there'll be more scripture, more worshiping God together. One of the things that we like to do, and Saturday's the best day for us to do this, is to look outside of ourselves. Maybe it's do something for a neighbor. We've put together some of those bags that we've shown in the past where you put toiletries and food and socks and different things together in a pretty big bag. And so when you pull up to someone that's homeless on the side of the road, instead of not knowing what to do, you can give them one of these bags. These are just things that we can do as a family. And that is what we have decided to do as Sabbath. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a new man after a day like that. I really am. I feel renewed by God. I feel refreshed. I feel like something is different. And the biggest shift for me, this is the biggest shift, is there's a big difference between rest, just rest and us resting on our own, and allowing God to give you rest. It is very supernatural, the rest that God gives you. It's a rest that empowers you. It's a rest that gives you hope. It's a rest that gives you energy to take on the day. Do you know that God created man? The first day was rest, and then they started to work. I believe that's the way it should be with us, that we rest, and out of the overflow and the result of that rest with God is what we do then the rest of the week. It's the concept of the first fruits. What we give first of really kind of redeems the rest and blesses the rest. It's with our finances. It's with our time. I try to start my day. I try to get up before the rest of my family to have some time with God. And what I do in that moment is, God, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Take this day. You have this day. And then the rest of the day is redeemed. And I believe with our week, that can be the same thing. We say, God, this is a day that I set aside. I will keep the Sabbath holy. I'll keep it separate. I'll keep it set aside and different than the other days. And I think it can have an effect on the rest of our week. And if you think about it, if you do that, I think there's 52 weeks out of the year. Is that right? 52? Awesome. 52 times a year you're doing that, and it affects every single week, which then affects your years and affects your life. There's a community, I can't remember where it's at, but if you look it up, you'll find it. A town that has been known to live longer than everyone else. And I found out that town are Seventh-day Adventists, which are very, very intentional about keeping the Sabbath. Now, I don't know everything that they believe, and I don't know all of their doctrine, but I don't think it's any mistake that people that are very intent on keeping the Sabbath are living longer because they know how to rest. So I just recently, last week, got invited to go to California to be a part of a retreat, just a 3-day retreat. And it's for our denomination, it's for Foursquare. And the reason this whole thing exists is they asked two people from every district to come to this retreat. And the whole focus was on Sabbath. And the reason this is happening is because of the alarming number of pastors and ministers in our denomination that are burning out and quitting ministry. And we looked at some of the statistics. We looked at some of the data that's out there on this. And the bottom line fact is that there's a lot of people that don't know how to rest. There's a lot of pastors that don't know how to rest. There's a lot of people in especially, I think, the United States of America that don't know how to rest. And I would say even more importantly, don't know how to receive the rest that God has for us. The supernatural rest that God has for us. So in closing, God is just inviting us. He's inviting us into two things. And I believe, because I didn't want this message just to be all about the Sabbath. I believe that the Sabbath is an important one. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's something that God created at the beginning of time. And it's a gift. And I didn't get this before, but now I look at it and my thought is, why would I not? I know there's challenges to it. Don't get me wrong. I know there's challenges. I know there's things that come against us. But I would say that if you really contend for it, God will give you the opportunity to do that. God will give you the opportunity. He'll open the doors for you in order to be able to have that. But it's not just a one-day thing. I believe that if we will establish that in our lives as a priority and really desire the rest that God has for us, that it can be a daily thing too, that we can walk in his rest, that we can be well-rested and not burn out and not running around like crazy, but walking in the rest that God has for us, each and every one of us. I want to finish by reading this paraphrase of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And we can have the worship band come back up. I love how Eugene Peterson puts this. Eugene Peterson is one of my favorite authors. And he wrote the Message translation of the Bible. It's called The Message. And this is the way he says it. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion?" Now, I want to stop, and I think it's interesting that he uses the word religion, because religion is different than relationship. So religion is about how you can get to God. Like, are you doing enough to get to God? And so that will always burn you out, because you will never do enough to get to God. You'll never do enough to please him. Relationship, on the other hand, is God coming to you, God coming to us, making himself available, giving us full access to him, which is what the next line reads. "Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it." I love this part. I love this part. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." May we learn the unforced rhythms of God's grace, where we're not struggling and paddling as hard as we can, but as Pastor Ryan said a couple weeks ago, we're sitting in the sailboat and letting God's wind move us and direct us. Because when we're in the paddle boat, we may end up somewhere, but we're probably going to end up in the wrong place and we're going to end up exhausted. But the rhythms of God's grace leads us and guides us and is gentle and reminds us of who he is and reminds us of his goodness and reminds us that he is Lord of all. And we're not. So Father, we come before you today and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that God, you offer something so beautiful to each one of us, and that is resting in you, that we might be still and know that you are God. God, this doesn't mean that we're not going to do anything ever again, but God, that what we do will be empowered by you. and your rest and your renewal and your empowering, Father. We thank you, God, that when we're with you, you empower us by your Holy Spirit. That when we're with you, you remind us of how much we are loved. When we're with you, all fear is gone. When we're with you, your word says we can cast all of our cares on you because you care for us. Our cares are gone, our worries can be gone, our anxiety can be gone because we put our trust in you, God. Father, I know there's a lot of different things and a lot of different situations in this room, a lot of different burdens, God. Father, would you begin to speak to each one of us, that we hand those things over to you, God, that we stop carrying those things alone, that we stop carrying those things and struggling, Father, but that we begin to just allow people to surround us who care about us. Allow the rest that you so willingly offer us, God, to invade our lives. Father, I pray that you would allow every person in this room to find that day that is holy, that is set apart. Father, that it would be enriching for their relationship with you, but also for their relationship with their spouse, with their children, with their parents, their brothers, sisters, grandparents, Lord, whatever the case may be. Father, I pray you would open that door and allow for that to happen in each person's life, God. We thank you that you cared about us so much, that you gave us this beautiful world to live in, to enjoy, the beautiful relationship that we have with you to enjoy, God. Let us not just allow this to just pass, Lord, in this moment, but let us take this with us, God. Thank you, Father. We love you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.